Just as the one who bows down to the senseless idol becomes senseless and foolish and stupid and impotent, so when you worship the one and only true God, the Holy Spirit, in a way we can't fathom, recreates us. Initially, when you come to Jesus Christ at salvation, you become His child and you are born of God. You become a partaker of the divine nature. I wouldn't use that language if the Bible didn't. And I looked it up, and you can. We don't have time, but I would encourage you to look at 2 Peter, and he says, we become partakers of the divine nature, and that phrase is surrounded with the word and the concept, knowledge of God.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our study of the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings part 4 of a message titled, God Gave Them Over. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. I say the Old Testament is replete with these statements of the folly, the wickedness of idolatry. And always then you'll find God, the true God, right beside the stupidity of idolatry. So the psalm starts that way. 115th Psalm says, listen, not to us, but to the Lord, the Sovereign One. The idols, they can't do anything. But look at verse 8. 115, verse 8. Don't miss it. Those who make them will become like them. Everyone who trusts in them. It's an inviolable principle. Man becomes like the God he worships. Those who make these foolish, dumb, senseless, blind, unable to speak idols will become like them. Everyone who trusts in them. Man inevitably begins to resemble the object he worships. Hence, when man turns away from God, first he worships man, then the four-footed animals, crawling creatures. It goes downward, huh? And what happens to man? Well, read verse 26 and following of chapter 1 of Romans. We're going to look at it. How could we get to where we are today, where the perversions and the ugliness of mankind supersedes even the animal world? We do things they'd never think of doing. Why is that? Because man inevitably begins to resemble his object of worship. And this is true in the positive sense when we worship the true God. And it's true in the negative sense when you worship the lie. Now, look back at verse 25 and keep this principle in mind. Those who make them will become like them. Now look back at verse 25. Where man exchanges the truth of God for the lie. The lie. And as man worships the lie, he becomes an increasingly skillful and deceptive and deceived liar. So this whole section, and we're going to see it in Romans, notice the whole section on man's unrighteousness begins, look at verse 18 now, with man doing what? Suppressing the truth. It's no surprise that we live in a world where lying can get you along pretty well. And we have lying in the highest offices. That's not surprising. Man is a liar. He suppresses the truth. And he describes him for 2.5 chapters. Look over at chapter 3. And he finally, in his final indictment, says this about man. Verse 10, there is none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they've become useless. There's none who does good. There's not even one. That's the summary statement. There is none righteous. But when he gets specific, look at the first thing he says in that list. Verse 13 now. When he says there's nobody righteous, when he tells his specific diagnosis, their throat is an open grave. With their tongues, they what? They keep deceiving. You want to know how they're unrighteous? First thing he talks about is the lies that come out of man. He moves his tongue and he's deceiving. You worship the lie, you become a liar. You worship the creature, and what do we see today? Increasingly beast-like behavior. I don't bolt my door at night because I'm worried about the neighbor's dog, do you? And we're worse than the beasts. We're worried about not the wild animals. We're worried about the beast-like behavior of man when he turns away from the Creator and worships the creation. You can see it in every realm today. Somebody worships money, and they become increasingly greedy and unsatisfied. And you say, well, that's strong language to use the term worship, Scott. No, I said it before, and I just want to remind you. When I say what we worship today, I'm aware that very few, you know, put a stack of dollar bills up and bow down on their knees to it. But when you think about what worship really is, when that becomes the whole focus of your existence, when you devote yourself to something, when you serve daily at the altar, when you live for it, when you sacrifice for it, when you acclaim those who really sacrifice, I mean, they'll really put the overtime in. They'll do whatever it takes. That's religious language. That's religious language. When you see the priority of life become something, then we're talking worship. It can be sports. It can be money. It can be fame. It can be pleasure. It can be the creature comforts of life. It can be your hobby if you just live for the weekend so that you can indulge in your hobby. Whatever it is, that's worship language. You watch people who worship self. We talked about it last week. We are the self generation, the me generation. And as we worship self, what happens? We become more and more self-absorbed and less satisfied, of course. None of these idolatries really fulfill. But those who make them become like them. You give yourself over to your career, and pretty soon, you become callous to anybody else's needs, willing to step on and do whatever you have to do for the sake of your so-called future. Give yourself over to fame, whether it be worldwide fame, so you'll do anything you have to do to cling to power and to gain more power, or it be little lightweight fame, you know, just in your particular league or your particular city or your particular group of friends or your particular athletic group or whatever it is. You give yourself over to it, and pretty soon you're increasingly selfish and shallow and empty. In fact, you can see it in every room. Give yourself over to pleasure. Make pleasure your God. You know, we saw that's going to be true in the church or the professing church. Paul said in the last days, 2 Timothy 3, men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And today we live in a world where I would think that if you could get an honest poll, you'd find that men worship at that altar more than perhaps any other altar, the love of pleasure. And what does it bring them? An enslavement to lust. Unsatisfying lusts that just continue to... And so our popular culture, it just has to go deeper and deeper into things to try to find a new kick, a new thrill, a new pleasure. And you become like what you worship. In short, you could just write over the whole thing what Jeremiah wrote over his day, because we live in days very similar to Jeremiah's. Jeremiah ministered in the end of Judah's kingdom, the final days as man was turning further and further away from the one and only true God. He said, they follow after. Will you turn there with me? Jeremiah chapter 2. But in short, you could just put it this way. They worship. Man worships an empty, vain, stupid idol, and he becomes empty and vain and stupid. Jeremiah 2. Jeremiah is saying, I can't believe what's happened. He's using Romans 1 language. He says, has a nation, look at verse 11, has a nation changed gods when they were not gods? Would a nation who knew the true God turn him in? Exchange him for gods that aren't gods? Yes. My people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. And so he describes what took place. Verse 5, look up the page. Thus says the Lord, what injustice did your fathers find in me, that they went far from me and walked after emptiness and became what? Empty. Why would they do that? Walk after emptiness, serve vanity, and become vain. That's exactly what happened. Now, that's what's happened in our world today. It's happened in the culture. It's even happened to some extent among those who know the Lord. You could be here and say, well, I'm a Christian. I serve and worship God. But let me tell you something. You and I live in a world that's permeated with this kind of idolatry, this exchange of truth for the lie, this exchange of the creator for the creature. And you and I can imbibe in it a lot more than we think. And so we need to listen up. You say, well, what should we do? Well, that's why I said, keep verse 25 in mind. What'd they do? They exchanged the truth for a lie. The creator for the creature, the creation. What should we do? Turn over to Jeremiah 10. Look at Jeremiah 10. We looked at this last week, but we didn't have time to look at the full text. Jeremiah 10. If man's problem is that he's worshiping a lie and the creature, what should he do? What should we do? What would be the healthiest things for me to do, healthiest thing for you to do, even as believers? Well, Jeremiah, remember last week we looked at it, the customs, verse 3 of the people, are delusions. It's wood cut from the forest. He ridicules it. He says they work hard, verse 4, so that it won't totter. It's like a scarecrow. He ridicules the idolatry. Then he comes and does what the Bible almost always does. Verse 6, he describes the real thing. Verse 6, there is none like thee, O Lord. Thou art great, and great is thy name in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is thy due. And in all their kingdoms, there is none like thee. They are altogether stupid and foolish in their discipline of delusion. Their idol is wood, beaten silver. They bring it in, they ship it in, they import it. Gold to make their false idols. The work of a craftsman and of the hands of goldsmith. Violet and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skilled men. You hire your experts, have a task force to build your latest technological idol, let's say. He says, that's foolish. But the Lord, look at verse 10. But the Lord is the true God. You turn away from the lie back to the truth. The Lord is the true God. Yahweh is the true God. He's the living God and the everlasting King. As at his wrath, the earth quakes and the nations cannot endure his indignation. You turn back to the truth, and then you turn away from the creation and the creature, and you turn back to who? The creator. Look at verse 11. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he has stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there's a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Every man is stupid and devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. The portion of Jacob is not like these, for the maker of all is he. You turn back to the true God, to the creator God, the one and only true God. And that's why Jeremiah said, look across the page at chapter 9, verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. And you know, people are still occupied with those same things, aren't they? He says, no, no, no. But let him who boasts, look at verse 24, boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things. The great need is for us to know him, the true God, the creator. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. Jesus we're told, is the Creator. Through Him all things were created, and nothing that has come into being has come into being apart from Him. You turn back to Jesus Christ, and that's why the Scripture constantly exhorts us to stay focused on the true God, the Creator, Jesus Christ Himself. Because as we do, we become like Him. It's an amazing thing. He says, don't boast in your riches and your fame, your might. Now let him who boasts, boast in the Lord, that he understands and knows me. The great need in my life today is to know God. And the more I know him and worship him, the more I'll become, amazingly, and I use scriptural language now, like him. Just as the one who bows down to the senseless idol becomes senseless and foolish and stupid and impotent, so when you worship the one and only true God, the Holy Spirit, in a way we can't fathom, recreates us. Initially, when you come to Jesus Christ at salvation, you become his child and you are born of God. You become, 2 Peter puts it this way, a partaker of the divine nature. I wouldn't use that language if the Bible didn't. And I looked it up, and you can, we don't have time, but I would encourage you to look at 2 Peter, and he says, we become partakers of the divine nature, and that phrase is surrounded with the word and the concept, knowledge of God. Peter writes that we might know God, grow in our knowledge of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ. The more you know Him, the more you will be, can we say it and be understood, a participant in the divine nature. We become like Him. In fact, not only is this initial when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're born into Him. So Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Not only is it that initial new creation that a man becomes a new creature in Christ, but it's that ongoing process. Turn to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And he describes this process. Verse 17. We'll turn back to 16. Whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. Liberty. You know, when you came to Christ, the freedom and the liberty you began to experience. When a man turns to the Lord, the veil is lifted, the blindness is lifted. Satan has blinded the mind, but now when a man turns to the Lord, the veil is lifted and the Spirit brings liberty. And we all, look at verse 18, what a description. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. God wants us beholding His Son, Jesus Christ. And as we do, as we worship Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, His Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ and makes them more and more real in our lives, or as verse 18 describes it, we are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. We become like Him. Jesus Christ was the expression of God on earth. As we worship and gaze at and cling to and serve Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit makes us more and more Christ-like. He conforms us to the image of His Son, Romans 8:29 puts it. We become more loving because He is love. We become more righteous because He is the altogether righteous one. We become more pure because He is purity personified. We become more merciful because He is a merciful and faithful high priest. We become more and more conformed to the image of His Son. And notice how He describes it. Look again at verse 18. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror. You know the only other place that I'm aware of where the Bible speaks of this looking into the mirror? Is in James chapter 1. He says, listen, don't be a forgetful hearer, but an effective doer of the word. If all you do is hear the word and don't act on it, you're like a man that looks in the mirror. The mirror is the word of God. You get up in the morning, and he says you look in the mirror, and if you just walk away, you didn't get the point. You look in the mirror, and then you try to do something about it, right? That's at least what I do, don't you? And you don't want to meet somebody at the door till you first had a chance to look in the mirror. Well, the Bible is the mirror. And we behold, look at verse 18, beholding as in a mirror, and the Bible will show us about ourselves, as it's doing in Romans 1, or in Romans 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, as it will do. The great theme of the Scripture is what? The glory of the Lord. As you look in the mirror, you see the glory of the Lord. And you say, well, what is the glory of the Lord? Well, don't leave the context. Just look here down at verse 6. Just ignore that chapter. He doesn't quit talking. Look down at verse 6. God who said, chapter 4, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. What's the glory of God? The face of Jesus Christ. That's why I say he's the image of the invisible God. You want to know what the invisible God looks like? You look at the face of Jesus Christ. And as we look at Christ in the pages of Scripture, the mirror, as we behold the face of Christ, the Holy Spirit transforms us. And notice the process, into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. That is Christian growth. No wonder God writes even to believers, oh, little children, guard yourselves from idols. What is really occupying you? What do you really serve? What's your priority in life? Beware of idols. Flee idolatry. Make sure that Jesus Christ is the focal point of your existence. That you spend time gazing at him. No wonder the Scripture says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. No wonder idolatry is so hateful to God. Oh, turn away from the lie to the truth, Jesus himself. Turn away from creation and creatures and all the creature comforts and all that stuff, back to the Creator, Jesus Christ himself, the image of the invisible God. And his Holy Spirit, as we gaze at him, will make us more and more like him, more and more conformed to the image of his Son, more and more able to bear fruit to his glory.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, God Gave Them Over, a message from our series in the book of Romans. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. We're continuing to see new growth in the Romans Project on the continent of Africa. Recently, we've added the countries of Guinea, Mali, Togo, and Ivory Coast to the ever-expanding outreach of the project. We'd like to invite you to learn more about this ministry or become a partner with us as we minister to pastors and church leaders throughout Africa. Just navigate over to romansproject.org or connect with us at facebook.com/romansproject. If you don't have a church home in the area, Pastor Scott would love to invite you to join us for our live online Sunday worship service at Southwest Bible Church. That's each Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m. You can find us live on YouTube by searching for SW Bible Live or go to swbible.org and click on Live Stream. We also broadcast the service live on the radio on True Talk 800 a.m. It's best to check the 800 a.m. program guide for up-to-the-minute schedule adjustments. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
You see, we've had a generation or two that has plunged into immorality and found that that didn't work. And you can hear it in even the music of a generation ago. I can't get no satisfaction. The thrill is gone. Is that all there is? And so man plunges further into darkness and looks for darker and cheaper and deeper thrills, if you will. And verse 26 follows verse 24. And verse 26 and 27 describe the plunge downward that we've seen in our culture. Degrading. Notice verse 26. God gives us over to degrading passions. Shameful, dishonoring passions, literally.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings part 5 of the message titled, God Gave Them Over. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.